To all the wanderers,
wanderers,
free thinkers,
and throwaway kids,
welcome to the dumpster fire.
Let's get dumpster diving.
And we are live. Ella, Justin, how are things going?
Going well. How are you all doing?
Oh, we're doing really good.
Things are good.
Really good, yeah. So, glad to be together again today.
So, what are we sipping on today?
All right, well, I said we were going to do it, and we're going to do it. I am going through the list of benchmark bourbons. So I realized that I skipped over one called Bonded. Benchmark Bonded is 100 proof, I think. This one's called Small Batch. It's 90 proof. Not to be confused with Single Barrel, which I did until I got this one and realized they were different. But yeah, Bonded is 100 proof. This one's 90. There are two more after this. So I was reading through their website, and each of the benchmarks has a completely different description for how they take. And I can't say that I agree with those yet. So I'm really going to need to get a lineup of these and compare them together. See if all tastes really similar. Buffalo Trace.
You can't go wrong with Buffalo.
We are having a little bit of change up.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's try this out. Okay. Okay, it is different. It's definitely different than the foolproof.
It tastes sweeter.
It does. It's sweeter. Now
it burns us.
They're saying this has the aroma of vanilla and oak that gives way to a delightful hint of caramel, leather, a bit peculiar, and honey.
Yeah.
I always taste the vanilla and honey.
Yeah, I can taste the vanilla in it, and I can taste the caramel a little bit.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, this is really, if you want a whiskey that you can buy for a bargain price, in my book, this is going to be a hard one to beat. Sure.
Yeah.
That's why I've kind of stuck with these, and I want to go down the line. We'll have Top Floor, Bonded, and Standard Benchmark. So we've still got those to go. There are actually six. I just looked through the list. So,
I'm excited to go on that journey with you guys.
Yeah, it's super interesting, too. I was looking up more of, I said it in a previous podcast, I was like, I don't know who Buffalo Trace was making liquor for during Prohibition, because they continued on straight through Prohibition.
Yeah.
Well, I never really studied Prohibition that much. I thought I knew about it, but there's little things I definitely didn't know. It was not illegal to consume alcohol.
Really?
During Prohibition. Yeah, if you had it, you could keep it. There was nothing against consumption. It was just against manufacturing and sale.
Hmm.
Then again, some states also completely refused to enforce it.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. I've heard, and I didn't find any reference to this, but I heard that the government actually poisoned alcohol,
really?
Bootleg alcohol with wood alcohol,
yeah,
denatured alcohol, which will cause blindness and all kinds of problems, and that's where a lot of the myth that stills will hurt you.
I've heard that in improper, if you don't have a proper still, it can create wood alcohol, and all alcohols have some percentage of wood alcohol. It's usually just a low, very low, unharmful amount. But if you don't have a proper still or using the wrong materials in your still, you could potentially make wood alcohol.
I've also been told from people that do make hard liquor that the first run, you don't drink.
Really?
It's a throwaway. I don't know why. I've never asked them, but
that's
just a rule they say.
Good to know for the apocalypse when we
don't drink the first run.
Yeah.
You'll get sick. So
that goes to fuel the vehicle, right?
This is one of the strangest things, though. When Prohibition was going on, you could still buy alcohol.
That's so crazy.
I was completely unaware of this. You had to have a doctor prescribe it, or you could buy wine and beer as medicine. And when you
good old days.
When you had a doctor prescribe it, you could get a pint of liquor every 10 days with a note. So that was really interesting. So some states completely refused to reinforce Prohibition, and other ones, they kept it.
Yeah.
Kansas kept it till 1948. Oklahoma kept it till 1959. and Mississippi kept it till 1966.
Oh my damn. Lord.
Yeah, I was completely unaware of this. So this is kind of, I love diving into this stuff and learning something new. So yeah. Now I know what Buffalo Trace was doing during Prohibition. They were doing what they do, making this delicious bourbon for medicinal purposes.
Strictly medicinal.
Yeah.
So today we kind of sat around and talked about, you know, we just want to be able to discuss stuff. And we didn't want to get too deep today. We just wanted to kind of talk about some stories we have. I think we're going to kind of switch back and forth between, you know, really deep thought stuff and kind of just stories for fun. And today we're talking about metal moments. Yeah. We've all had some stories that, you know, you tell them, people laugh, and they're just cool. And a lot of ours do revolve around metal concerts. Today we're Justin, you're in the Mastodon shirt, even though it's not the band Mastodon. I have on my Wolfheart shirt, which I finally located, and Ella has on an In This Moment shirt. So just bands I love. I think Ella, I think you had a pretty good one you started with earlier.
This one?
Oh, the story. Let us know what's up. Yeah, go with that.
Okay, well, speaking of the shirt I'm wearing was procured at an In This Moment concert. However, I did not pay for it. We were at the Louisville Palace, and the show had ended. Went to the restroom, because I had consumed a large amount of alcohol. And I come out, and there's this shirt on the ground. And I was like, what is this? So I pick it up. And I do, I legit hang around for a while, because I don't want to be like a thief, you know. So I wait, and then security comes, and they're pushing people out the door, like, you can't stay here. So, I got like a $50 shirt for free. And at the time, I remember being really upset because I want to say it was a medium. And I said, there's no way I can wear that. I'm way too big for that. That's never going to fit. And I now fit in that shirt.
Yeah.
So I have lost enough weight that I fit in this shirt.
That's
nice. Awesome shirt.
Yeah. So metal moment right there. Free concert shirt.
Louisville Palace and In This Moment are just such a wonderful combination. That's such a beautiful venue. And they just put on an awesome show. Mm-hmm. If you ever want to, if you want to dip your toes into metal, I would recommend that show.
Sadly, that's one of the concerts that got canceled because of COVID.
We had a whole row rented.
Yeah, I had a whole row reserved because I have a credit card that let me have early access to the tickets, and we were able to get an entire row. And
yep.
So when you think of that, we need to actually schedule a concert because I chose to not get refunded. I chose to have it go towards future tickets, and we have not picked that, and I don't want that to expire.
That's an option now.
Yeah.
So
I got this one is kind of funny. You know, it's kind of the trend now to hate the band Nickelback.
By the way, I love Nickelback. I've always loved Nickelback. I will always love Nickelback.
I cannot hate Nickelback. I personally owe them. So this is back in probably 2003, 4. I can't really remember. They had one single at the time, Leader of Men.
Yeah.
And that's a good song. So they were an opener, like an early opener at Deer Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there to watch Stained.
Yeah.
So, if you've been to Deer Creek, you know that the hardcore people show up and sit on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have the pavilion seats usually don't show up until well into the show. Well, Nickelback's stage manager came out and told everybody to just come on up there and sit in the pavilion. So we rushed the stage. We got up there in these box seats right up front. I mean, feet from the stage.
Yeah.
And by the time they got around to us, we'd watched everyone else. And Stained was on.
Yeah.
So they come up to us and they're like, where are your tickets? And we're like, hey, we were up there in the big rush earlier and people pushed us over and we lost them.
Yeah.
And the guy's, no, you gotta leave. And the girls beside us who had their tickets showed them their tickets and said, no, they're with us.
Oh,
stayed there
awesome.
For Stained, hooked us up, man. It was so great. That was one of the best times. And so ever since then, I mean, you don't hear me playing a lot of Nickelback, but I just can't hate them. You guys, I know where you came from.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. It really was. So Ellie, you got another one?
Oh yeah. Let's see. We saw Filter at Phoenix Hill Tavern.
We did. It was an unadvertised concert.
Yes.
They only had like signs in the bathrooms there.
It was very crazy. So first off, I miss Phoenix Hill Tavern.
Oh, yeah.
I've won their booty shaking contest before.
Ooh, metal moment right there.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, we actually had gone there for a concert the week and after we got married. And I believe we were with Hook.
Yep.
And they had a sign And the thing that got me was the first thing I said was, there's no way that's like the filter. Like, there's no way that they're going to come to Phoenix Hill Tavern. Come on. No, it was the filter for $20 a ticket. It was awesome.
Yep.
The power went out, and he was getting so mad. It was hilarious. The band that opened for them, the guy actually kicked the whole drum set off the stage. Remember that? Because the power kept going out in the middle of their set, and came back on finally for filter, and they played their whole set. So that was quite epic. I actually have gotten lost in Phoenix Hill Tavern before.
Oh, yes. It was amazing.
So for those who aren't aware, it was, what, four stories?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say there were seven stages, at least. Seven bars. There were like seven bars. There was four or five stages, maybe. So I get lost going to the bathroom. I remembered. I was like, well, I went to the bathroom by the bar, by the stage. So I was like, I just have to find my way back. Well, seven beers later, because I'm at my seventh bar, I still can't find the right stage. I'm like, I need help. I am lost. But I stumbled upon Freddie and the Krugers, which was a band, and they were dressed in full getup. That was awesome. Brian came and found me and said, what are you doing? We're not here to watch these guys. I was like, I got lost, so I just decided to enjoy the show.
Yep. Yeah, definitely missed that place. That was a cool place.
I tell you what, though, it was no condemned movie theater.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I'm going to go back on this one a little bit here. We actually went and watched... the headliner was the band The Wretched, but I was actually there to watch a band called Allegiant. And Brian Hook and I... Brian Hook has been at the majority of concerts I've went to, actually. We went to a lot of stuff together. We wrote their Wikipedia page and kept getting it rejected because they said our source material was too close to the source. Which was, I think it was silly, because the page now doesn't have a lot more than that. I don't know if that's our original writing that someone added to or not. But anyway, we went there to see them. And a funny story about them at the time, they had just replaced their guitar player, their rhythm guitar player, Ryan Gleason, with a kid named Michael Stansel. And I just heard from their Facebook that, you know, they had a new rhythm guitar player. We're in the bar, and he walks up next to us. He tries to order food from the bar. And the bartender leans over and says, how old are you? And I go, I can't hear what he says to her. And she's like, you can't be in the bar. So he goes to walk off, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, aren't you a Legion's rhythm guitar player? And he's like, yeah. And I go, and you're too young to be in the bar? And he's like, yeah. And just walks off. I felt so bad. I was like, no, dude, I'd ordered your food for you. Like,
yeah.
But when we were at that show, one of the early openers there came out, and I remember watching them do their setup, because I was in the, just killing time, sitting back there watching, drinking a beer. You can, Diamond Pub and Billiards is amazing. You can get a craft beer in a glass, and then go mosh.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Good times.
Yeah. Very, very anarchy, it admits. Yeah. But this band was setting up, and I remember they were real particular about their setup, and when we actually watched them play, the lead singer was just poor and sweaty. He was killing it. And I told Ella, I said, these guys are good. Like, they're going to be something. And the band was Rivers of Nile.
Yeah.
Now, Rivers of Nile, this was probably, oh gosh, 2013 maybe? I can't remember the year we went and saw Legion. But Rivers of Nile had the metal album of the year, according to a lot of people, in 2018.
Yeah.
And that album was fantastic. So, Rivers of Nile, they do their tour. And this will tell you the kind of pull they have. They decide that on their tour, they're just going to play their entire new album, start to finish,
which
is excellent. I love that. I heard this. So they were coming to a place in Indy, and I actually bought table tickets so we could sit and watch them. Because I was like, you know, normally metal concert, you want to be up there interacting. But this time, I just wanted to sit and watch this. And I was like, watch these guys come up. So we're literally driving to Indy to go to this show, and we get a message that they lost their venue because the AC was out.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, the show's canceled. We're going to have to turn around. Then we get a thing that says, we're looking for another venue. It looks like we found one. It's the Emerson Theater. So I've heard of the Emerson before. Never been there. Yeah, the Emerson is basically condemned. So we get there.
It's closed permanently.
It's closed permanently. It says it on the front, and it's boarded up. But the door would open.
The door would open.
We go in, and they have buckets of beer there that they're selling. The band themselves is running their own merchandise table.
Oh, wow.
I was like, holy, this is crazy.
Cash only. $5 PBRs.
No internet connection. Nothing. And we get back there, and this is an old movie theater that gutted the seats out of. There's no sound deadening. It's just, they have all the equipment, like, stacked in the center with police tape around it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm like, this is the most metal thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
To the bathroom. there was water. It was only cold water, but at least there was running water to wash your hands. But you would go and take the big piece of plywood, basically, and, like, remove it, and then turn around and put it back, and that was your door. So there was, like, not even stalls. It was plywood stalls. Yes. They just had makeshift.
And believe it or not, they, despite that venue being a big box with no sound deadening, they still sounded good. They did awesome. It was one of the better concerts I've been to. Really weird. We never got our refund because they didn't have my special tickets I paid for, but I hope the band got some of that money. I really do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a really cool one. That was recent too. That was, I think, 2019.
That was right before COVID.
Yeah, right before.
We actually went to a small concert with Hook again. We're gonna have to have him on.
Yeah.
And it was at a bar in Indy, but I think Indy or Louisville, I can't remember.
It was Indy.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think it was, all they sold was PBR. I don't know what it is with these bars that only sell PBR. I'm not even dogging. I like PBR. It was just, like, a little variety. And I remember we were kind of rushed. We don't want to be late. But there were like 7 of us there watching this band. I don't even remember the band. Do you?
It's one of Hook's favorites.
But it was the last concert before COVID.
Yep, that was the last one.
That reminds me of a show that I really was dreading. It was the middle of winter. It was January. It was like 20 degrees outside and snowy. And I lived in Louisville at the time. The concert venue was a small bar in the middle of Indy. So that's a 3-hour drive in snow. And we'd already ordered our tickets, but they're only like $20, $25, mm-hmm. something like that. And I just was not feeling it. I almost canceled up to the last second. And then I found out that a girl I was crushing on was going to go with us. So I was like, okay, I guess I can get out of the house. We go, and it was the band the Eagles of Death Metal. If you're familiar, Jesse Holm from Queens of the Stone Age, mm-hmm. and Jesse Electric Boots Hughes, who has a red mullet and a Fu Manchu, which he's epic. But yeah, they put on one of the best shows I've ever seen. That is like less than 100 people in a little tiny bar in the middle of Indy, and yeah, came out in a blizzard to see him, and it was a great show, fantastic show. They had a stand-in guitar player. Apparently, one of their guitar players couldn't make it. He looked to be a senior citizen. This guy could jam.
That's awesome.
It was easily one of the most metal things I've ever seen. It was pretty fantastic. So.
Awesome. So I got a random one too that happened. This was more, the concert was metal. The concert was awesome. Now, I've seen Opeth, I think, 3 or 4 times now. But one time we went up to Indianapolis to the Marat, I believe.
Yeah, I love the Marat.
So across from the Marat is a parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
We parked in the parking garage because street parking was completely gone when we got there. I remember, I think this was the show, there was the opening band. I really wanted to hear one of their songs that was new. And when I got there, we walked up and they were playing it while we were waiting in the line. So I got to technically hear it, but I wasn't super happy.
Not in all of its glory.
Yeah, Opeth was awesome. They did really good. It was a packed room, like super packed. Like you could barely move in there. I remember the lead singer joked they were going to play Hanson next.
I fangirled out. Yeah, I was very excited because I thought it would have been epic to hear a metal version of Umbop, and he just left and said he wouldn't play it. And I was like, no! Like, I was the only one. Like, I literally was the only cheer like when he said that.
So that concert was good. It was fine. Normal concert. Everything went as per usual. We go to leave, and we're in the parking garage, and we get, it's a 3-story or so parking garage. We get to, like, the second story, and we're just sitting there.
Just a line.
Yeah.
I mean, the line's not moving.
So every now and then we'll move up one car, and I'm like, this is really weird. So finally I'm like, something has to be going on here. So I get out of the car, and I walk down the ramp.
Yeah.
And I go over, and I see this guy sticking a ticket into the machine over and over and over, and I walk up to his car, and I was like, what's going on? He's like, the machine's messed up, man. It won't take our ticket. So he just keeps putting it in and putting it in and putting it in. So it took the guy in front of me like 10 minutes to get his ticket to take. I'm like, are you serious?
So essentially we were sitting for like an hour and 3 people had exited the garage.
Yeah, 3 people had made it
out. And that's no lie.
So finally I'm like, is there like a number we can call or something? And we look around and there's nothing. Wow. So now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm livid. We were supposed to meet Hook, actually, at
Hooters.
Yes.
Because I was starving.
Having to go to Steak and Shake because we stayed so long. But I was lit, and I was on some metal, so I went up to my car, pulled my tool set out of the trunk. Yeah. I go straight down to the gate, and the gate is like a long wooden bar that's bolted on.
Yeah.
And I unbolt that bar and just take it and throw it across the garage. And everyone's like cheering, like, yeah, I get it. This guy comes out of the security booth and yells at me. Yeah. And I'm like, you mean you sat there and watched these people try to get that card reader to work for all that time and didn't do anything? Fuck you.
Yeah.
And he turns right back around, realizing that was a dick move, and goes back in the booth. So
we got free parking.
I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty nervous for a few days. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm sure I'm on video doing that.
Yeah.
But nothing ever came of it. So that was a great time.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Opeth has been hit and miss for me. They've been my best concerts and my worst.
Really?
the best, I actually, this was an early concert I went to. It's the first time I ever went to Expo 5. And if you ever get a chance to go to Expo 5 in Louisville,
yeah,
go there.
Excellent.
Go there. It's a, like an old silo they've cut in half, so it's round. Mm-hmm. And then you can just see the
sound quality.
The deadening around the building is just massive. It's so thick. The only place that venue doesn't sound good is right by the bar, because you get some echo off the bar.
Yeah.
We actually listened to Lamb of God, and we're that far back because we couldn't get up there. But this was Opeth, and I remember Catatonia, the band, was opening for them. I'd never really heard of Catatonia. I'd never been to Expo 5. So we get up there. I'm with Zach Edwards. And we got right up front, because there weren't a lot of people for the opener. Catatonia came on and played the song Forsaker, and it was just like a wall of sound hitting us. And I was like, I've never been to a venue that sounds like this.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's like being inside a pair of headphones, almost.
Yeah.
And Opeth, they're one of my favorite bands. That's one of the most poetic lead singers of any metal band right now.
Yeah.
They used to do death metal, and he ripped his vocal cord in like 95.
Yeah, I heard that.
He had to have the lead singer from Opeth do the vocals on that, I think, Brave Murder Days, that album. And then after that, he was like, I'll just do clean vocals.
Really?
Yeah, so he did that afterwards.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That's similar to a story about the Deftones, the guys from the lead singer, I can't think of his name right now, from the Deftones, and the early 2000s damaged his vocal cords, and they thought his career was over, but they're back. They put out a new album last year, and it is fire.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful album.
Yep.
Whatever recipe the Deftones has, they have not lost it in the 20 years they've been playing.
Minerva's one of my favorite songs. Yeah, I love that song.
Just whatever recipe they've got, they've always been able to grow with their sound, but they've never lost their original sound, and that's something rare in a band. Opeth is one of those bands that's never really lost their core sound.
Well, they didn't lose it, but they did give it up. They do nothing but cult rock now.
Really?
That's how they got me.
Really?
That's how they got me. I went with Hook. This is probably the third or fourth time to see Opeth. I think it was the third, because the fourth time they did mix up what they played, but they had a new album out at the time, and it was all just this mellow 70s cult rock, like Blue Oyster Cult.
Really?
It's not Opeth anymore. There's no death metal.
Really?
It's gone. Yeah, it's beautiful music. I like it enough. So
yeah.
We go there. But they'd make a song for the God of War soundtrack called Throat of Winter.
Yeah.
We're going up there. This was at Expo 5, so I'm just fired up. I'm like, Chris.
Yeah.
And I tell him, just as a joke, he's like, man, what if they only play their new stuff? I'm like, no, they won't do that. I'm like, and I'll be fine as long as they don't play Throat of Winter. And I meant this, because I hate that song.
Yeah.
We get up there, and we're about halfway in, and people are starting to get pissed. They're like, Demon of the Fall! Like, yelling at him, like, play the shit we came for!
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's like, I got a really fun one I want to play for you all. Throat of Winter. And Hook looked over at me, and I was just red. I was like, What do I do? I stayed and watched it. I made the best of it. They did not play a single heavy song. People were like, is that really it? They're not going to do an encore?
They didn't do any
heavy? No, I think he was literally back
at Expo 5?
At Expo 5. Oh, my Lord. It was just mellow.
That sucks. I've seen Opeth once, but it was, it was probably 10 years ago, and it was a hard show.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
one of the hardest shows I've ever been to.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't listened to any of their new stuff. That's crazy. I didn't know they...
You'll have to catch up, man. It is weird, and you like weird, so I
do enjoy weird.
It's just so off-putting for me. I'm like, oh, gosh. Like, they peaked at Watershed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that was that. And I mean, props to him for going his direction. He went the way his friend went. That's the guy from Catatonia. Said, I'm going to do mellow vocals and just do music I like.
Really?
Yeah. They're still heavy, though. Catatonia's brutally heavy. The new Opeth stuff's just...
Just not.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have to listen to that and tell me when we do the next one how you feel about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that's my not-so-metal moment.
Yeah.
I know Ella's got some good metal moments, actually, at concerts I've been to with her.
Yeah.
A particular one I'm remembering was Kid Rock.
Oh, Kid Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Great show. Didn't help that we pre-gamed.
Yeah,
before.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. I actually had ran into somebody that I didn't know was going to be there, so we started drinking more than I had planned. So I was feeling good at the start of Kid Rock. And he did play... He played a lot, but I was really wanting to hear some more of the older stuff. And so I really was not the happiest with the song selections. But I was like, whatever, it's cool. I actually was almost kicked out because we decided to take some seats, even though we had purchased lawn tickets.
As if Nickelback had hooked us up.
They they had been empty the entire concert, so it's not like I stole somebody's seat, per se. I mean, I was stealing somebody's seat. An actual person sitting there. I wasn't kicking them out of their own seat.
The people beside her had said there was no one there. She could join them.
So security came. I tried to get away with a lie. They said, where's your tickets? I said, oh, they're digital. And my phone said I've been recording this concert the whole time, you know, taking pictures. And he was like, that's not good enough. You have to leave. And I went to kind of push back, and the security guard kind of said, you can leave willingly or I can escort you out. And I was like, well, I'm drunk, but I'm not that drunk. I will leave, you know, yeah, myself. So I'm kind of, you know, walking a little haughtily. And the concert's over now, and we're leaving. And you know how at Ruoff, it'll always be Deer Creek.
It's
at
Deer Creek. Creek.
Basically, the crowd will move one way. It's kind of like a river, a stream, you know. It moves one way. Well, there was that one ass hat that's going to walk the wrong way.
Yeah. Mm.
And he full-blown body checks me. Like, shoulder, like, I go back. Well, I had just gotten into it with a security guard. I didn't hear the songs I wanted to hear from Kid Rock. So I turn around and just punch him as hard as I fucking can in the back. I think the back of the head.
No, she got him in the back, like right in between the shoulder blades.
Between the shoulder blades.
And almost took him over because I was like, well, here we go. Yeah.
So he turns around and squares up. Yeah. His girlfriend starts laughing and goes, oh my God, you just got your ass kicked by a girl. Brian kind of squares up behind me and goes, bro, do you really want to do this? And he was like, I think you could have taken him. But I was just like, it was just one of those things, like, don't do that. So, yeah, I almost got kicked out of a Kid Rock concert and punched a guy.
Yeah, and that was the same deal as what happened at Opeth.
That doesn't surprise me that all that happened at a Kid Rock concert.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that seems very par for the course
yes.
to me.
What I actually said to him, I said, dude, is it worth it?
Yeah. There you
and
go.
Then his girlfriend was just, like, smacking him, and everyone around was, like, laughing and pointing at him, because he was that guy.
He was that guy.
Yeah.
We were being nice to everybody. We were having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
It's what you're supposed to do there.
Yeah.
So would you guys believe me if I told you that I've met Tim Robbins before?
Oh, yeah.
I actually,
You shouldn't, because I haven't. But, I swear to God, I met his doppelganger.
Tribes of People.
Three years in a row at Bob Schneider.
Yep.
At, what is the place in Indy? The Raskeller.
Also an awesome venue.
Very good venue. Great German food. Great German beer.
Yep.
Bob Schneider exclusively plays there when he comes to Indy. He won't play anywhere else. And the third year, I finally got the balls enough to approach fake Tim Robbins. And I said, hey, man. It's like, are you Tim Robbins? And he was like, no. And I said, well, I'm not going to lie. I've got like 50 pictures of you on my phone from the past 3 years because I just like stalk you every year.
This guy looks just like Tim Robbins.
It is crazy.
He's not kidding. He's a doppelganger for Tim.
That's crazy.
I can't believe that would be the first time he'd ever heard that, but he sure acted like it.
Maybe it was Tim Robbins just being low-key.
Yeah. Probably was.
Tim, it was a pleasure to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Justin.
Yeah.
We got to hear the Bridges story. And that's got to fit in here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I've had some pretty big metal moments in my life. And one of them was a close friend of mine, best friend of one of my older cousins, had been a promoter for Rock'em Sock'em Wrestling, which is ICP's wrestling company. And he had a mental break, diagnosed with schizophrenia, and had to take some time off work. Well, he had gotten medicated, he was getting his life back together, and he just wanted to put on a show for Rock'em Sock'em. Well, they didn't really trust him with a budget or anything because of the mental break, so they gave him no budget. And so he called in a bunch of favors. He called all of his old Rock'em Sock'em wrestlers and called on all these favors. So all these people are doing this for free. Well, he has no money or very little money to put on this event. So they all pool their money, and he wants to do it in Jennings County. Fucking Podunk Vernon.
He decides we're going to do it in the old Vernon gym, which has been closed since the 70s.
Yes.
It has no air conditioning. This is the middle of August that he decides we're going to do this. So no air conditioning, middle of August, in a 110-degree gym. And we have a local band play, which was my age at the time. I was 17, maybe 18. And they all show up early in the morning. I'm helping them set up. And it's a bunch of extreme wrestling midgets, including a normal-sized guy named Madman Pondo. Shout out to Madman Pondo if he's still alive. This was 20 years ago, and yeah. He was a madman. He was the only normal-sized wrestler. And then we had an announcer named Bridget the Midget.
Yes.
If you get the chance, Google her. She's quite famous.
Be careful, don't do it at work.
Yeah, don't do it at work or in front of your children. She is pretty much the standard in midget porn star. And she's supposed to be the announcer. Well, we get there well before the show's not starting until like 3 p.m., 4 p.m., something like that. And we've been going since 8 a.m., setting everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And Bridget, how I got in charge of her, I don't know, but she drank 3 beers, and because she's 3.5 feet tall, was schmammered, and I couldn't keep clothes on her. She's running around French kissing people's ears when they bend down to like set up wiring and stuff. She disappears with one of my friends to the liquor store that is less than a mile away for an hour and a half. But we still call him Midget Fucker. he denies. I don't blame him, but she's just a crazy little midget. Now, so we get everything going, and finally we open the doors for this event. And I'm already having my misgivings about this event. Bridget, I'm having trouble keeping control of. She's supposed to be the announcer. Well, it's not till people start showing up that we realize Ace didn't put an age limit on the shows. Everyone that showed up...
There.
Nothing but children. It's all adults and little kids.
Oh my
gosh. And I'm like, oh fuck. We're fucked. We're going to get sued. So the show must go on, right? Well, the very first thing, Ace is like, get Bridget out there to announce the first fight, the first round of fights. And yeah, she strips completely naked, runs out on stage, grabs the mic, and goes, "Who's ready to fucking rumble?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, we're all arrested. Like, we're all like, no." So I run out, grab her, get her backstage, and it was just absolute chaos from that point on. Literally, I watched them purchase 3-foot fluorescent light bulbs at Walmart, and they were bashing each other in the face with them.
Okay.
I was talking to this pretty girl that was my age, and from a small town, we're in a small town, and I'm thinking, how do I not know this girl? So I ask her, I'm like, we're the same age, how do I not know you? She's like, oh, I'm from Louisville. I'm like, what brought you to Podunk, North Vernon, from Louisville? She's like, oh, Madman Pondo is my brother. I've just watched this man jump through 15 folding tables
and
like, get up like it was no big deal and then throw a bunch of midgets out of the ring. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll see you. You're like, no, no.
Yes.
I value my life. Oh, yeah, no. Like, it was crazy. It was a lot of fun though. But we ended up calling it Fresh Flop or Sweat Flop because it was 110 degrees in there, and it was a huge flop. I don't know to this day how we didn't get sued. I imagine this day and age we would have been canceled.
Yes,
please, if something ever happens that you find yourself in that situation again, let us know. I would gladly purchase tickets and come watch the show.
Watch the dumpster fire that was
our flop. I thought this was a metal moment. I think she got cut off early. Ella's first stand-up, she wrote like 20 minutes of material, not realizing it was a 5-minute set.
Oh, yeah.
So she's killing it, and she's going on and on. This guy gets like mad because he brought his kids, and
but the ticket said 18 and older.
Yeah,
why would you bring your kids to a comedy show?
She hadn't said anything too raunchy, but it was pretty rough. And she's like, "Uh oh, we got a heckler." And my friend was like, "Oh, I got worried," so he shut it down.
Yeah,
but I thought that same deal.
First time out of the gate, got a heckler.
I actually got a similar story. There was one of my favorite comedy venues is the Comedy Caravan. It's a real small venue in the islands of Louisville. And I only lived like 3 or 4 blocks away from there for a decade. And I'd go to a lot of their shows. Well, one night the marquee said
voted Funniest Grandma by Nickelodeon. And I'm like, there's no way this woman's going to be funny. What? She was the filthiest, most foul-mouthed person I've ever seen do stand-up. But the marquee literally said, voted by Nickelodeon, Funniest Grandma.
That's hilarious.
America's Funniest Grandma.
How do you get Nickelodeon to vote on you?
I don't know.
I mean, they have, like, Kids' Choice Awards, man.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it was a Kids' Choice Award or something.
So kids like foul-mouthed grandma.
Well, I tell you...
I'm guessing she had a whole other persona for the kids.
Yes.
That's probably so.
Just my guess.
Kind of like a... Yeah. But well,
yeah, she was funny.
Metal moment, we went and watched Ron White, and he opened his set with a suicide joke.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Oh, yeah, Ron doesn't care.
Brutal. Yeah. And amazing.
Speaking of... we had Ron's tequila at that venue, and we will have some tequila on here. And tequila is fully subjective. There's no standardization for it, so it will literally be just our opinion on it.
I feel like I may be allergic to tequila. Uh-oh. Every time I drink it, I break out in handcuffs.
Yeah, that does happen to me. I've always thought that it was a stimulant, because agave can be, but it's not. That's a myth.
Yeah.
I just think it's... I don't know. I've heard that a lot, though.
It's got some sort of spirit in it.
It's got some sort of magic.
Yeah, it's got some devil magic going on.
I mean, yeah.
some ancient Mayan sex and death goddess or something.
Literally. Something. Something is imbued into it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just thought of this. This one actually upsets me to this day. One of my favorite metal bands is Behemoth.
Yeah.
Their lead singer, Nergal. I respect him. You know, that's not my type of music. They play some really blasphemous stuff, to be flat out. But I've actually heard him talk about it. He's very educated, and he bases all this on the Catholic Church in Poland and their history there.
Yeah.
And he's open-minded. He's extremely open-minded. So I was shocked by that. I was like, well, this guy's really smart. Like, I respect this. And they're just a brutal metal band. Awesome metal band. So finally, they're coming here. Their drummer, I have said forever, is my standard.
Really?
He does tricky cymbal work. If you have tricky cymbal work, I like your stuff. Yeah. And he was one of the first ones I ever heard do that really well. And he's just a monster. I mean, these metal drummers, I don't know what kind of shape they're in or what kind of drugs they're on, but
they got to be in excellent shape on good drugs.
Unreal, yeah. I can't even do that. But so they're coming.
Dana Carey's an octopus. I swear that guy's got eight on him.
He is. It's wild. It's insane. It's awesome. So Behemoth is coming here to Deer Creek. It will always be Deer Creek.
Yeah.
And I get these tickets just for that. Rob Zombie was the headliner. Rob Zombie's cool. Brian Hook is in tow. Actually, I think he got the tickets for us. You know what? Toast to Hook.
To Hook.
Let's do this.
He's a good guy.
Both of them. Brian and Amber.
The Hooks.
So we get there. First thing I do is find out what stage they're going to be on. There's three stages at Deer Creek.
Yeah.
They don't play them at the same time, but it's so they can do the setups on and off. And we get in line, watch a band or two coming up. I think Deftones was there that year.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
That's cool.
And I'm waiting. I'm like, okay. The band comes out. Starts playing some stuff I've never heard before. I'm like, what is this? So about mid-set, the guy comes out and says, we're motionless and white. And I look over at Hook and I'm like, this is Behemoth's stage. What's happening? So I Google it then and find out that Behemoth's drummer hurt his knee.
Oh, wow.
And they couldn't find someone to replace him, so that they were being replaced on their North American tour.
Oh, wow.
I have never been so disappointed in my life. That is disappointing. I don't know if Motionless and White is good or not, but to me they suck because of that.
I've only seen video of it, but do you know the band Flaming Lips?
I've heard of them.
They are bizarre, but absolutely bizarre. Not metal by any means. But they're one of those, you either love them or hate them bands. The people that truly love the Flaming Lips are huge Flaming Lip fans. Well, they did this as Masuki and the Giant Pink Robots Tour, I think was the name of it. They always have inflatables and craziness going on at their shows. Well, their big show every year is in... I believe it's in Seattle or Portland, wherever they're from. That's always the final show they do on a tour, and it's a blowout. It's all day. Well, they've done this world tour after a year, come home, done their big home show.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's video of it online. Their drummer had gotten sick, eating some bad seafood or something, and he couldn't perform. They're like, we do not want to cancel. This is the big show. If we're going to be, for the next hour or so, we'll be taking
we'll be interviewing people if anyone knows our stuff and can play drums. Awesome. You can play with us.
Holy cow. Awesome.
Well, finally, after about 45 minutes, they come back on stage. They're like, well, we think we found a drummer, and we're kind of surprised. You guys probably know him. Justin Timberlake. He had been in the crowd, what? And he's a huge Flaming Lips fan, and he's an amazing drummer.
What?
He plays the rest of the show, and honestly, he played better than their original drummer.
I gotta throw this out there. I'm sorry for all your heartstrings, but Justin Timberlake just acted in a movie.
Palmer.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It's called Palmer. It's on Amazon. Or no, it's on Apple.
I keep on hearing about it.
Yeah, you so let me tell you about
this.
Get a box
of tissues.
I watched this movie, and I'm like, oh my God, that was awesome, but rough.
Yeah.
And all right, like the manliest guy I could think of, I'm like, dude, you gotta watch this movie. He's like, okay, I will. He writes me back, like, oh my God, man. I was like, I told you, I tried to warn you. That is a fantastic movie. If you wanna watch a movie about
I tried for a long time to not like J.T., and you just can't not like him. He's amazing. He's talented. He can sing. He can dance. He can play the drums. He's hilarious.
He's a good actor.
I mean,
yes.
He's funny. He's a good dramatic actor. He did Dick in the Box.
He did. That's the Saturday Night Live skit with the hashtag, like, everything was hashtag, like, hashtag LOL. Like, oh my God, that one is great.
He is my favorite reactions. I like to put the one from Saturday Night Live where he's just staring. That's my mode half
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
Just
mostly to me.
I love how he's always been willing to make fun of himself.
Yeah.
But there's a skit he did on Saturday Night Live where it's him dressed as an old man and it says some bar in Ireland circa 1860. And it shows him and he turns to the guy sitting next to him and is like, it is my destiny. My great grandchild will bring sexy back. And the guy next to him is like, what do you mean, anus? What do you mean, bring sexy back? The entire world will be devoid of all sexy. And he will bring it back.
I love it.
He's Justin Timberlake is probably
and
one of the most metal.
I also think it's awesome that we're having a Metal Moment show, and we just had a 5-minute bit on Justin Timberlake.
Well, and I was going to say, how about a Justin Timberlake Metal Moment? He was on Star Search when he was like 12 and sang country music.
He's multi-talented. He's one of those guys.
Yes. He's a very multi-talented.
He's from Nashville,
person.
I believe, is he not?
I believe so.
So he was really immersed with country music and then obviously became the pop star. And even looking at that, I mean, the music might be kind of trash in all honesty, but think about how hard they worked. I mean, that was a group of, what, 5 guys?
Yeah,
I mean,
really
they were physically fit. They were cranking
out
hits.
And, I mean, the world was devoid of all sexy.
And he brought it
back.
He left his 4 best friends to bring sexy back single-handedly.
Yeah, he had to.
I mean, come on.
He's a one-man avenger.
Mm-hmm. And he puts his dick in a box.
Yeah.
Speaking of metal pop stars, one of my absolute favorites is Curly.
Yeah. Oh, she's adorable.
She's from Estonia.
How do you weigh in on the old controversy, I think it's dumb, about Rob Zombie playing with baby metal?
The Japanese band Baby Metal. I have a friend of mine who's very metal.
They're essentially J-pop and metal.
Yeah.
They're 16-year-old Japanese girls who do J-pop, but it's got thrashing metal music behind it.
So I would probably like it.
I don't know.
I like it. I mean, it's nothing I'm going to go home and listen to tonight, but it's not something I hate. And everyone's bashing Rob Zombie for touring with him, and I'm like, dude, he's starting to support a young artist who's just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just...
Did you guys...
I don't understand gatekeeping. I don't get where you can tell someone that they're having fun wrong or they're enjoying something wrong.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's just like when the lead singer of Opeth or Catatonia decides, I'm going to go a different direction.
Yeah.
It's their art. It's their music.
Yeah.
I don't see how it's any bit of an issue. I have actually a friend of mine who's a very metal, and, I mean, he's got good taste in music. He loves baby metal.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves it. And he actually was one talking to me about it. Like, what do you think about it? I was like, I mean, it's not my thing. I don't think, you know?
Yeah. But there's a
in any kind of fandom, and I've seen it in metal, I've seen it in pretty much every fandom I've ever been semi-part of, there is a lot of gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of dorky white males that are like, oh, you can't, if you don't mm-hmm. know this, this, and this, or listen to this, you're not in the club. We've got to change that. Mm-hmm. We've got to be more accepting. There's no reason to tell. And I see it, I'm a huge reader. Literature is a huge part of my life.
Oh, yeah.
And I see it in the lit bros. There's all these lit bros out there that you've got to have read this, you've got to have read this. If you haven't read Infinite Jest, you don't know shit. It's crazy. I'm anti-gatekeeping.
Yeah.
No matter what medium.
And I think one awesome thing, especially, and it's been at Diamond, I think, every time we go, we don't know this man, but every metal concert we go to at Diamond Pub and Billiards, there's a blind man that goes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he is thrashing the music, he's having a blast.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, that's what I like about music. It's meant to bring you together. You know, he's got people that will protect him.
It truly is the universal language. And that reminds me, I've seen GWAR 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And I'm not a large man. And I like to be up. Usually when I see GWAR, it's in a very small venue. And I like to be right up on the barrier.
Yeah.
Right next to the stage, because that's where you get sprayed with fake blood and guns.
Nice.
And it makes the concert fun. Well, every concert I've ever gone to for GWAR in Ohio or Kentucky, I find the same guy. I have no idea what his name is. He doesn't know my name. I find him. He's a giant. He always wears a trench coat, a leather trench coat. It's always 100 degrees inside the venue. And he's like probably 6'4", 6'5", probably 300 plus pounds easily. And I just lean into him. And as the crowd surges, I surge into him and he puts his arm around me. He's like, I got you, little buddy.
It's so common for metal concerts.
It really is. People take care of each other.
Oh, yes.
It's a really a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And that's more than like the gatekeeping and all the silliness you see out of metal. More what I see is the love.
Yeah.
People just showing each other love and respect. I've been in a lot of mosh pits. Probably places I shouldn't have been because technically I'm disabled. I'm not a large guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been seriously hurt in a mosh pit because they wouldn't allow it to happen.
I have seen it at Diamond 2 times. One time a guy, I guess he got upset.
He took it too far. Yeah, I remember. He was inappropriate.
Well, there was one guy that wasn't even in the mosh pit and got mad and punched someone. And they got him out. Everyone turned on him real fast. And then the other time, a guy threw a punch at somebody, and security at Diamond literally wrapped that guy up and just disappeared him. When they came back,
Diamonds
I was like,
is real quick
awesome.
To do that.
I was like, that was insane.
Actually, the most savage beating I've ever seen in real life was at my very first concert, Ozfest 96, I believe. 96 or 97. Would have been 97. It was so dumb. It was over spilt beer. Literally, this guy was walking on the lawn at Deer Creek, spilt some beer on a girl. She got up all mad, so her boyfriend got up all mad, and then a bunch of people stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And fist started flying. One of the guys hit the ground, and next thing you know, probably 8 or 9 people started stomping him. I literally look over. I was with 2 giants of human beings. Ben Dryden, if you know him, I know he wouldn't mind a shout out. And Chad D. Haven, who is also a Viking and a giant of a man. They like created a wall around me, so I wasn't going to be in the fray. Because this is literally 6 or 7 feet away from us. But when the security finally parted him, I looked at this guy's face. He's completely unconscious. His eyes were rolled back in his head, and white was leaking out of one eye.
Oh, my.
It was like his eye was leaking out of his face.
Yeah.
I guarantee that eye doesn't work to this day. And it was, I don't understand why you would want to take it to that level. This wasn't a mosh pit. This was somebody spilled a beer, 2 guys had words, and then one, whoever hit the ground, everybody else just jumped him. That's insane.
I went to Tom Petty, which, by the way, it was an amazing concert. Not metal, but I mean, it was an amazing concert, and I would love to have been able to go to more. Obviously can. He's passed. But went with not really went with the neighbor, but the neighbor also had gone. And he's older, kind of like a father type, and he has a cane. We're all on the lawn, and so we're kind of hanging out. His son's there, who's close to my age. And something similar had happened. He had went to take a step back or something. Of course, you know, the lawn is sloped, and he has a cane and spilled beer. He offers to buy the guy another beer, even though just a little bit spilled out of the beer. Yeah. Bought him a whole new beer. We're talking 2 hours later, the guy comes back and tries to get in the neighbor's face again.
Oh, wow.
Over the beer. And he was like, we've already settled this. Well, so I just kind of stepped in because at that point I'd had enough. And I said, listen, you're picking on a guy with a disability. I was like, I said he was my dad just, you know, to make it easier. But I was like, you want to pick on somebody? I was like, stop picking on my dad. I was like, you can talk to me. And he kind of said something, and I was like, I'll go get security. I was like, I'm not missing the last of this concert because you're yelling about a beer, and you're blackout drunk at a concert yelling about a beer from 2 hours ago. It's like, come on, man.
That's insane.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And of all the metal concerts I've gone to, all the concerts I've gone to over the years, that's been few and far between.
Very much so.
Most times music brings people together. I've been to some crazy shit. I saw Wu-Tang in the 90s.
And, oh my gosh.
I was actually warned that I would be the only white kid there, which didn't turn out to be true. But I've never seen so much love at a concert. I mean, it was old heads and young heads, and they're all getting together, and it was so much love.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
There's something to be said about the small venues, too, because like I said, there's two incidents I can think of at Diamond that's a small venue. But then I can think of probably a dozen that I've seen at Deer Creek.
Yeah.
Well, and I almost started one of them.
he shouldn't have body checked you. He shoved me aside with his forearm. And I was upset, but I wasn't that upset that she was. So
yeah.
Obviously.
It's a big shocker. I have a bit of a temper on me.
Yeah, she does. It does happen.
Those that know me, I know you're thinking, no, not her.
Yeah.
So I really hope that this podcast has sounded better.
Yeah.
This is our first
definitely up in our game.
Yeah.
This is another metal moment.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to say that.
We're making metal moments here.
Excellent new microphone, double mic setup. We're doing it to it. We got a nice mixer board. So I'm actually doing this old school. A lot of people are using the Bluetooth and the clip-on mics nowadays.
Yeah.
And we're doing a little different. I like having the versatility.
Yeah, I like your setup, and I think it's going to continue to improve as we grow this thing and get better at what we do.
Justin, you got any concerts you're going to?
Not as of yet. I've got some I got some dream concerts that I want to go to, but I haven't scheduled anything yet.
Deftones is in September.
Really?
Early September, they're in Indy.
That would be amazing.
That's one of the first ones I saw that's actually got tickets for sale. And then it sounds like Ella and I will actually be working a food booth at Louder Than Life.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be in there.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
That's awesome.
Get paid to watch some metal. Star Set's going to be there. I'm real excited for that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean...
Did Sturgill, did that get rescheduled?
Not yet.
Sturgill Simpson?
Yeah. We had tickets the day they came out. Yeah, we're actually before they came out. So excited. Canceled because of Rona.
Yeah. It ruined a whole
I mean, we had probably concerts. 8 concerts, I think, scheduled. Tickets bought. That's what's so sad.
Yeah.
It was.
It was our
But they're starting to reschedule now, so looking forward to the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully we'll have some more stories to share.
Yeah, I imagine so. Just in the next year, we should have a lot more metal moments to celebrate.
Let's hope. Well, everyone, thank you again for tuning in. I hope you like what we're doing. Hope we see you back again. Get on our Facebook page, Tales from the Dumpster Fire. Anytime you got a comment, you want to share something with us, get on there. You got a correction, we're definitely going to mess some things up now and then. Let us know. We love to hear that. We'll give you a shout out on here.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. So when this episode drops, definitely get on our Facebook page and share some of your metal moments with us, because we'd really love to hear from our throwaway kids about the metal moments in their life. So let us know.
Let us know, folks. Everyone, have a good day.
Thank you.